and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Well, we welcome you back to the broadcast this week and invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse number 12. John 1, verse number 12, we pick it up here where we left off last time. But as many as received him, that is Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We referred last time to Nicodemus and how he visited the Lord Jesus Christ, asking, "Who are you and what are you doing?" We know that no man can do these miracles except God be with him. The Lord testified to Nicodemus there in John 3 that one must be born again to be able to see the kingdom of God, and that one must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And this is being testified here also that salvation is not of us. It's not of our will. It says in verse 13, which were born not of blood, and that water, blood birth that all of us have come into this world in. It's not by that. It's not by lineage or by heritage. It's not by who your parents, grandparents, or family are that we are saved, nor the will of the flesh, any thing that we can do or accomplish or try to please God with is to no avail, nor the will of man, anything that we can do. Nothing, salvation is not of man, but it says here in the end of verse 13, but of God. As many as received him in verse 12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It is through repentance and faith that sinners are saved. It is a work of God, salvation is, and men must come to God, must come to the Lord Jesus Christ, must come to the Savior in repentance and faith, and it is God that saves. Jonah knew it full well, where he says there in Jonah chapter 2, I believe, salvation is of the Lord. And the apostle testifies to that here. In verse 14, for John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word, that is Jesus Christ, a capital W indicating his name, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ came in that body prepared, as we mentioned last time in Hebrews, referring to Old Testament passages. He came in the flesh. God came in the flesh. The apostle writes to Timothy, a young preacher and pastor, in the day of his ministry. He says it's a great mystery that the Lord Jesus Christ would come down, be seen of angels in this world, be seen of men in this world, would be believed on by men. It's a great mystery of God that the Lord would condescend, that he would humble himself to come and be a Savior for sinners. John says here in verse 14, he was made flesh. The Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. And here in parentheses, the scripture says, and we beheld his glory. A side thought, we saw his glory, even though naturally, the way men, being respecter of persons, would look on at another, even though he was of no beauty, he was not necessarily a handsome man, just one that fit into the crowd, John says, oh, we saw his glory indeed, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ is the only son born physically to God Almighty. Being born again is that spiritual birth, and it is a spiritual affair. But Jesus Christ was born physically. The Spirit of God moved upon Mary, who had never been with a man. She was a virgin. But the Spirit of God moved upon her, and having never known a man, the Spirit of God conceived within her that holy thing that would be called the Son of God. And the Lord became flesh, and indeed dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, And he says here in the end of this verse, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus Christ has the Spirit of God without measure, and he is the manifestation of grace, the unmerited favor of God upon sinners. Why would God send his Son? I preach in jails from time to time and have been blessed to do so over many years. And I asked those fellows that I've been privileged to preach to in the jails. I said, would any of you that having children, would you give your child to rescue me? And of course, the honest answer is no. We would never do such a thing one for another. But God did so for sinners. He gave his Son. He gave his best. He gave that which was the most and of greatest value to him. He gave him for his people. Grace indeed. The unmerited favor of God. Not because we've done anything. The Lord doesn't save because we have done anything. But he saves out of his own good pleasure. He visits with his word, moves with his Holy Spirit, and saves of them that believe, full of grace and full of truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is indeed full of truth. He is truth. He's the dividing line of truth, the plummet line of truth. That's what God establishes as truth. Everything that God says is true. It's not up for debate. It's not up for consideration or alteration by men. But what God says and what God does is the truth. And that was manifested in his Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ. We change a little bit on the subject here in verse 15. John, that is John the Baptist, bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. John cried this message and said, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, this is the one I've been preaching about. This is the one that I've been indicating that is near, that is coming, that is amongst us. He came after me. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. He's the one that you really want and the really would rather see rather than me, John preaches and tells, at the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord reveals himself in that day and his ministry begins. He says, he has come after me, but he is the reason that I'm preaching. He's preferred before me, and indeed he was before me. John's been taught the education that he got there in the wilderness of Judea by the Lord. The Lord God Almighty speaking to him and teaching him, preparing him for the ministry that he had, and being a forerunner of Christ, being the forerunner of Christ as prophesied, coming in the spirit and power of Elijah before the Lord Jesus Christ to make a way prepared for the Lord. A man saved, remember, from his mother's womb, saved before he was even born, full of the Spirit of God. He says, this one that is here now, that I've been testifying to you all about, this one was before me. And he tells that he is God, that he is from the beginning. Verse 16, and of his fullness, of Jesus' fullness, have all we received, and grace for grace. I tell you what, I'll be honest with you, I don't know, understand all what that verse means. But his fullness have we received. The great wonder and power of God that he would offer his Son, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be willing to come to be a Savior for sinners, has been revealed unto us, has been extended to sinners, and grace for grace. The unmerited favor of God extended to sinners and given to sinners when we're dead in trespasses and sins and very, very far away from God. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by God to Moses, given to his nation Israel, to be that which they should follow in that day, a law that couldn't be kept by men, a law given, as we understand in the New Testament, to show us our sinfulness, that we might become guilty before God. It was what the Israelites and the nation of Israel was to keep in that day. It was in obedience to God, and he gave it for a purpose in dealing with his nation, but yet using that to be a witness and a testimony to the rest of the world that we are sinners and we do fall short. If a man would ever claim, and there are those that preach sinless perfection, and there's no way that in this flesh that we can ever be without sin. Sin is with us. We're born and come forth speaking lies, as Scripture says. And if a man would ever be able to one day pick up and keep the law from that point till the day of his death, what about the sins and disobedience of the law before? See, we need a sacrifice that is greater than anything that we can do. How can I please, if it would be that I could keep the law, how would it be that I could begin to keep it, but yet what payment would I have for my sins and disobedience of the law before I begin to keep it? Of course, we know it's impossible. That last commandment makes it so very evident. Thou shalt not covet. A covetousness, a thing that's in the heart. It's a thing that begins in the factory of sin, if you will, desiring that which is another. And if we evaluate all the other 9 commandments and consider them, is it not covetousness that is at the root of every disobedience of the commandments? I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't men covet another God? God is the God of mankind. He is our God. He is our Creator. But isn't it by covetousness that men seek another God? Seek their own way? Thou shalt not commit adultery. But very prevalent in our nation and very prevalent amongst our society today. But isn't adultery, doesn't that start in the heart when a man begins to covet a woman that is not his? Covetousness. We see that the law was given by Moses, he says in verse 17, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled that law, and he fulfilled it perfectly. And as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ being 100% man and 100% God, he fulfilled the law. And the thing that's just so impossible for us to understand and comprehend, he had no thought or consideration of disobedience of the law. It wasn't like it was a debate with the Lord, but he willed to keep it. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't even think about disobeying it. And he kept it. And by grace, he has taken his righteousness by which he pleased his Father as he became flesh. And by grace has taken that righteousness and that doctrine of imputation, taken that righteousness and placed upon those through repentance and faith believe. He takes his righteousness and places it upon the believer. And he takes the believer's sins, and they were placed on him, and he paid for them in Calvary. John says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Truth. The truth. I see that our time has come to an end. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 5 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.